Ooh. Hey, I feel like should I play the James Harden video for the intro? Should we
That
do
would
it?
be great.
Should
That'd
we
be
just
very
play?
fun.
Should we just play this James Harden clip for the people to start the episode? They don't even have to hear my voice, man. We're gonna talk about in-season tournament mainly, but I feel it's key that people get to hear this. No, not James Harden dancing with that Chinese pop star, bro. Where's the good stuff, bro? Where's the good stuff? There should all be James Harden dancing with this Chinese person. Here we go. Can you guys hear this? Audio's terrible, bro. Anyway, let's get started. James Harden said, and I quote, "Daryl Morey is a liar, and I'm not going to play for him again." And he was so confident he repeated it twice. And you know what happened with Morey, Hong Kong, you know, the Chinese start, they just started cheering. You know, they loved it.
I would have cheered too.
Know, James Harden make it a Chinese citizenship after that statement. I'm not gonna lie. They love him over there. But whew, that was a clear escalation to the report that Morey was bringing Harden back and he's done trying to trade him. What do you guys think this will have the desired effect for Harden, which is obviously him getting traded before training camp?
I mean, to be honest, I don't know what's gonna happen because, I mean, he can't like just sit out because the new CBA or not the new CBA. It's been in the CBA for a while. Just people, it's never been like nobody's ever had to implement it. But yeah, the new CBA or the CBA has a rule where a team can prevent someone from entering free agency if they don't suit up for over like 30 days. So, I mean, I don't know what's gonna happen,
Yeah, that
to
I
be
did see
honest.
that clause. I did see that clause in CBA a couple of days ago. I do think Harden will show up, but I don't think he's gonna do anything crazy. But Jalen, what you think?
Yeah, so I mean, I see the clause too, but it's like I've seen James Harden do this two or three times where he's like not fully engaged with the team and he obviously wants out and he just makes like everybody else's job that much harder. So the Sixers are trying to like their goal is to compete for a championship because they're trying to keep Joel Embiid in town. And I don't think that keeping a malcontent James Harden, who we know can put on a fat suit at any time, and we can know that can show no effort on the court anytime on the roster is actually a good idea for them. I think their best bet is probably trading him while his value isn't completely tanked because at this point, the whole league knows he doesn't want to be there. The whole league knows that they're not going to end up with getting a great trade package for them. So they better hit up a team and try to get what they can before they have to trade James Harden for like a two future firsts and Norman Powell.
Are they even going to get two future firsts for him? I mean,
That's what I'm
honestly.
saying. Like, as the longer they wait, the less his value is.
You know, that's a good point. And you know, I don't feel bad for Philadelphia, by the way, because it's their fault. You can't promise a guy you're going to give him good money and not pay him. I mean, it's money. That's not, you don't mess with somebody's money. In today's era, you mess with somebody's money, oof, you get anybody mad, right? So I don't know.
Yep.
I don't think this is, you know, you can have your thoughts on James Harden demanding trades and stuff. And if, but in this scenario, I gotta fully side with James Harden because it's money, you know. If for example, if I tell you, listen, Jalen, please take a pay cut this year, and I promise you're gonna get your 4-year deal next year. And next year came, it came, and everybody, you know, really back in March. Everybody thought, okay, James Harden was re-signing. It wasn't even like everybody knew he's un could be an unrestricted free agent. But you know, nobody ever thought there was any issues. I mean, it's Morey and Harden. I mean, that's like Bonnie and Clyde. I don't know. That's a top tier. That's the NBA's version. Like those. When you think about a GM player duo, is there any that come to mind like those two? And well, it got to this level where James Harden just essentially shamed Daryl Morey's character publicly, where PJ Tucker, who is he still in Philadelphia, right? He's still under contract, right? I'm not tweaking.
Yep. He has one more year in his contract.
He's taking James Harden's side publicly against their GM, his own GM. Where Joel Embiid, again, I do think it's a passive aggressive thing from Joel Embiid, removing Philadelphia and the process from his Twitter bio. It is really a passive aggressive thing. I don't care what anybody says and say don't look into it. It is passive aggressive. Why are you removing Philadelphia when you know exactly what's going around, you know, around the team? I think the most realistic situation that actually may end up happening is Daryl Morey gets fired. What do you think?
I think honestly, if they lose Joel, eventually Daryl Morey is going to be on like the extreme hot seat. It really depends how he handles this situation, because if he ends up losing Harden for absolutely nothing, then Joel is going to be upset, obviously. And Joel obviously needs a superstar there in Philly to compete for a championship, and they're not getting a superstar of a player back for Harden. But what they can do is try to clear up that cap space by trading Harden for, you know, lesser than they would get to try to like doing like a little salary dump and try to, you know, finagle their way into another star maybe next offseason. But I think that if they keep James Harden on as a malcontent and end up losing him for nothing without having a clear plan in place to replace him, then, you know, Joel might get upset. Joel has hinted at, you know, being wanting to be in a place where he can compete for a championship. If that's not Philly, then he would leave. And if he leaves, then Daryl Morey, I don't know, man. He's probably a Nazi.
And that's the key part here. All of this to me is, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the report today. They're talking about maybe even demands a trade this summer, which I don't think is realistic. There's no way on God's universe Joel Embiid's getting traded this summer. I just don't see it. And I don't think Joel Embiid would ever sit out. You know what I mean? I mean, that's.
Did you see that report by Kelly Eco saying
that? Yeah, that's the one I seen. Yeah, I seen that one. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. That makes logical sense. The Rockets have some of the most assets in the entire NBA. So, I'm not going to act like that's unrealistic, but it doesn't make sense either, because I don't think you have a contender regardless if Embiid goes there or not.
Real Rockets fans like saying, I wouldn't trade for Embiid. I'm just like, what?
I mean, I don't want to lie. I don't want to say they won't be contenders, but are they the favorites out West? I mean, the West is closer in power balance than a few years ago. So, I mean, maybe. I mean, Embiid, maybe Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, they make some magic happen.
Maybe. Did you say Fred VanVleet?
I mean, I'm better than whatever he's going to have at point guard after Harden gets traded.
Fair enough.
So, the Knicks, though, I've always said the Knicks are the most likely. It's just that they're rivals, obviously. That's the only concern. But I always felt like the Knicks were the most. I guess OKC could always also swing for the fences here, right? I mean,
they have the draft capital to do it for sure.
Yeah, and the players.
Probably the younger players.
They would just send Chet over, I mean, and replace him with Embiid.
No, I don't think they'd send Chet over.
Are you sure? I mean, would you not? I mean, Embiid, Chet, swap with a lot of, obviously, the money work.
I would try to get it without Chet.
I mean, but you'd have Cha on the bench then.
You can start at the four.
You'd have him at the four? All right, that's fair.
Yeah. You know how OKP plays.
Yeah, Sam Presti.
It doesn't really matter for them.
So there's a lot of teams, right? There's about three teams I could think about. Knicks, Rockets, OKC that may swing for the fences here and bring them in. But that's my main concern here with Philly is how much do you let this get so uncomfortable that, I mean, Kelly Ilko saying he doesn't, to be clear, he said he does not foresee Joel Embiid requesting a trade anytime soon. But he said if he does.
They're a team to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. He said if he does, the Rockets are a team. So he's not insinuating like this is something that's on the horizon or anything like that. He was just kind of stating that, you know, he believes it will be 1 to 2 years from now. So it's not even close. But he thinks if all goes to, you know, bottom level, you know, James Harden, you know, he's going to come back and, you know, he's going to make things uncomfortable. We know he is. He's not afraid of doing that. And the longer it ticks on, the worse the team's going to be. First of all, you're not even that good of a team without James Harden, right? I mean, you're a solid playoff team, but you're nothing more than that. You're probably going to start the season off pretty rough, depending on how hard your schedule is. Daryl Morey's at a loss here. I don't know what you do. You trade James Harden, you're not even going to get much from him. I mean, the Clippers are not even willing to move Terrence Mann. Like, it's a deal breaker. They're not even interested in that combo. So what do you do? So Clippers want him for a sale price, and I understand. I don't want, because you got to understand, Clippers cannot re-sign Harden after this year. He's a one-year rental for them. So I can understand why they're like, we're not going to give you a long-term piece for somebody who's only going to play with us for a year. And then Daryl Morey's like, well, no, I want him. And Clippers pretty much don't really care to trade. I mean, what do you, you know, we'll pass this to the Clippers fan. How bad do you think the Clippers should pursue Harden in this situation? Should man be on the table to try and get Harden?
That's a good question. I mean, honestly, I'm glad we held out. At the time, I was like, dude, think about it. This is probably the last chance to contend with this PG Kawhi type lineup, right? We have Russell Westbrook under contract for 2 years. You need to be going all in. And I think that you need role players like Terrence Mann to win. But, like, Terrence Mann isn't some untouchable young rising star. He's 27. He's not some, like, you know, groundbreaking future superstar like some people, you know, some people try to describe him to, be. Some people on Clippers Twitter specifically. But I'm glad that they held out in the long run, because now we're seeing James Harden get into his mode where he just doesn't participate in anything. He's going to make training camp. He's going to make the start of the season now. So now that we waited until Harden reached his breaking point with the Sixers, now we can possibly get James Harden without having to go Terrence Mann, which is best case scenario. I think a package of like Marcus Morris, Norman Powell, and
another random salary filler.
Yeah, some random salary guy should work. But you know, the Sixers weren't willing to do it then, but now that Harden is playing oddball and we still haven't, you know, had any trade talks that got anything substantial, now we can come back and be like, are you sure that you don't want to trade James Harden?
How much of a concern is it for you that now James, at first it was just exclusively the Clippers and the Sixers, other teams weren't really dabbling in. But now that James Harden obviously really wants the Clippers, now that James Harden said he's also interested in other teams beyond the Clippers, how concerned does that make you be in a bidding war? What could happen?
Well, I mean, you know, if we're not giving up Terrence Mann, Norman Powell, Marcus Morris package, right? What team is in a spot of contention that needs James Harden on their team that can give up more than like Norman Powell? Because even if the Clippers, you know, we're probably the deepest team in the league. We haven't shown much before because our stars keep getting hurt. But Norman Powell, Marcus Morris, and a first is more than a lot of teams can give up. Think about like the teams that are contending and the teams that James Harden puts over. You can't really think of a lot of bench players, expandable bench players that they can give up to, you know, fill James Harden's needs. And the other thing about it, James Harden wants to compete. So if you give up those players, you kind of have to pay James Harden, unless you're the Clippers or some other team that only wants it for 1 year and is trying to.
What other teams can even like? Would even like consider? Like,
I have the odds on James Harden.
What team would trade for? Like, what are the other teams that like make sense for trade for?
Let me see the odds. Okay, so the Clippers are the favorites right now. No, that's the okay. They're saying the Sixers. I mean, come on, bro. The Knicks, I don't see the Knicks, but the Knicks is an option. The Miami Heat, the Lakers, and the Suns. I don't see those.
I guess.
This is the bookies one.
No, the Suns can't happen.
They say the Clippers. Yeah, here it is. The Clippers and the Hawks, and then the Timberwolves, and then the Sixers, and then the Heat, and then the Blazers. And you keep going down. And the last Blazers, one being the Rockets. The Blazers are really low, though. Like, they're really low. The only other teams I can foresee, as biased as it is, I could also see the Timberwolves. I can see the Heat, Miami Heat.
How would that work to capitalize with Timberwolves?
So Conley gets $24 million next season. He's an expiring.
I think you only need like $27 million to.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. It depends, though.
It was It was a number under 30. I know that. It's I think it's like 20. It's like 27 to like 29. That's one of those two numbers.
To trade for Harden.
But yeah, it shouldn't be that hard.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay, my assumption was the Timberwolves would trade.
His option's only like 30 something. Is like mid 30s.
Yeah, it's like 34.
Interesting. Okay, that changes a lot. So I'm Conley and Kyle Anderson straight up just match the 35 or 34. It's 24 plus 9. So they both
yeah, of them combined. You wouldn't even have to like give up Anderson in that case.
But that's my thought is again, James Harden's value is so in the gutter. You could get away with giving them Conley, probably a rookie you drafted, and some heavily protected pick and just throw it away. As much as I love Mike Conley, like, I mean, come on, bro. We're talking about James Harden here. Also, I'm kind of in the camp where I don't really care if they trade for Harden. Like, even if we don't trade for, I don't think it's like now with Harden, I think we go over the top. Without him, we still gonna be in talks, but I don't think we're at the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, with Harden, obviously, one of the best pick and roll players, and he gets to have Rudy Gobert, he gets to have Kat, Jaden, and all around him. I mean, his offense already speaks for itself, but again, he has elite defenders around him to make up for it as well. I think it's a perfect pairing for him. But then again, it's like as Jalen said, is that more better? Is Mike Conley, Kyle Anderson a better package than we watched at Powell, what was it, Marcus Morris,
Covington,
and
Bobby Covington. Yeah,
and a pick two on top of that as well.
Yeah,
see, is that better? I don't know. I can't. It would be too biased for me to say it is. So, I guess maybe if a team doesn't like Marcus Morris that much and prefers Kyle Anderson, but I mean, I think you clearly would prefer maybe, I mean, I guess they need a point guard, so maybe they do want Mike Conley. Regardless, the 76ers, as you could tell, the packages were just disgusting right now. It's bad. They're not getting anything remotely what they gave up. Depending on how Ben Simmons looks like when he returns, they're going to end up giving up way less than what they gave up for him. They end up going to send him out for less than what they got for him, gave up for him. I'm tweaking, what the hell.
I could see a team like the Heat if Dame isn't traded, which I mean I haven't heard his name in weeks since the NBA put out that memo, but yeah, if Dame isn't traded, I could see the Heat maybe exploring a trade, and they definitely have some rookie first round pick players that they can trade with Jovic and what's his name. I don't think they could trade Hawkins.
Oh, Hawkins! I keep forgetting.
Was the draft already a month ago?
Yeah, they can't trade him. He got signed. So you need. Oh yeah, yeah. It has been a month. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a month already. So they can't trade Hawkins, but they could trade first round picks. I mean, they have a couple. They could trade a young player or two, so they could find a way to make it work.
They definitely
could. If they really wanted to do that.
But I don't foresee Miami going after him. I wonder if Daryl Morey is even interested in helping out Miami. If he wants to still contend, why would you give it to a direct rival that would be in your way?
They're not even the Sixers aren't trying to contend though. That's just they're just saving face. They're trying to save up cap for 2024, and I don't know why, because that free agency class isn't good anyways. So
yeah.
Does it ever get so bad within the next month that Embiid's like, I'm out? Do you guys think?
Now, I don't think Embiid will request a trade until at least it would have to get really bad, but I don't foresee that happening until 2024.
Same. I don't think there's any world where he demands a trade this summer.
It would have to get like really bad.
It got to get toxic very fast.
It could with the PJ Tucker taking Harden's side. Who knows? I mean, we're not in the locker rooms and stuff. we're not in any of the meeting rooms. But I mean, you know, this is one of those situations where it's not speculation. It's pretty obvious. There's a significant dislike between the two and divide in the team. As one of his vet leaders, two of his vet leaders. I mean, Harden's a veteran, and Tucker is going against your GM. Now, obviously, Philadelphia can fix this up. But again, even if you fire Daryl Morey, is your new GM going to even be interested in paying Harden the money he wants? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah. They're not. There's no shot they fire
Morey.
You don't think they'll fire Morey to save face?
I don't think they fire him until like 2025 at least.
But doesn't it look bad next year when you want to recruit people and it's like,
Who are they recruiting though? Like, go look at next year's free agency. Like, it's bad.
I haven't seen the next year's class. I'm just saying,
bro. If they want to recruit free agent,
Mike Conley. I mean, if they want to recruit Mike Conley, for example, next year.
All right, man.
Paul George, honey.
The best free agent in next year's draft class, and he's shown like zero indication of wanting to leave, is Siakam. And then it could be like OG Anunoby, who I think will probably leave the Raptors. But
yes, but I'm saying like that's still solid role players. What are they going to think about you lying to Harden about paying him money? Because from what I'm seeing, a lot of the players are taking Harden's side, even not on the team, like Kyrie Irving, Trae Young. You know what I mean? So there's already a Danny perceptive, Green. It seems, around. Yeah, it seems there's a perceptive.
And Iguodala as well.
Exactly. There's a perceptive around the players that the Philadelphia 76ers have done Harden very dirty. I mean, that's going to look pretty bad come contract talking time.
If you look at it, I mean, they pretty much have. And if there's, like, if there's concrete evidence that Daryl Morey, like, promised him a, not a max, but, like, some, like, luxurious contract and they went back on their word, yeah, that's going to look bad.
And they'll get, don't you, I remember Glenn Taylor did some sneaky business like that and lost his 5 first round picks.
What the hell?
Yeah, he promised to under the deal table and we lost 3 in the KG or we lost 5 picks. If you're wondering why we were so ass for so long. But like that, wouldn't the Philadelphia 76ers get severely punished? I don't even think that's legal. Like, you're not allowed to do stuff like that. We promise we'll pay you. I think that's a significant. Now, obviously, the language may be different for what Morey said to Harden for what Glenn Taylor did. Could be a difference. I mean, obviously, I was like 5 years old when this happened, so I can't speak on exactly it, and I haven't refreshed on it for quite some time, but I'm pretty sure that's illegal anyway. And there will be severe penalties. So James Harden can do one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
They did it to circumvent the cap, and then even then they got caught for tampering for Tucker and House. So if it's even remotely true that he promised them something, like, they pretty much did that to circumvent the luxury tax and the cap. So yeah, I do think they would get punished. So that's true.
So Harden has the chance to do one of the greatest things ever, and pettiest things ever on the way out. But I mean, this is really as bad of a situation. The 76ers right now are in a very, very bad situation. You're obviously not going to contend next year. I think that's out the window, because whatever you're getting for Harden is not going to be as good. You're not going to be better than Boston, obviously. You're not going to be better than Milwaukee. Are you going to be better than even Miami? Even better than New York? I mean, we're talking about these teams that when you lose, because as much as people say Harden kind of fell off, he's still a very elite point guard. I mean, he's one of the best in the business.
He's arguably the best playmaker.
But yeah, so look at what Jalen named on the side of the Clippers being given up, what I named for the Timberwolves. They're nowhere near that level.
They're not even remotely close.
So it could be some dark times in Philadelphia, especially with this whole new Embiid drama. I don't know where it goes. I don't know why.
I just think he was rebranding his Twitter. I don't think it's anything like, oh, he's going to request a trade immediately. I think people are making it out bigger than it seems. But I do think the way this is trending with Harden and that whole situation, I do think in a year's time, he'll request a trade. Now, whether he does get traded or not, it's a whole different issue. But
yeah, I mean, this is just... We'll see. Well, I mean, from the process being glamorized to this.
I said it months ago.
You called out Morey a while ago. You did. Yeah.
I said during the trade deadline, I'm like, not going all out. It's going to potentially come back to bite you in the ass. And it has.
Yep. You were a harsh critique of Morey for the last season. And yet this is, I don't even know how this is a lose-lose situation. That's the crazy part. You can't even win a situation like this. You trade him.
Yeah, this is a very ugly situation.
Bad. You keep him. It's bad. You're not going to perform good next year. I mean, obviously, I think they'll still be like fifth seed or something like that, fourth seed, something like that. You know what I mean? But beyond that, I don't think you'll be anything serious where people are going to be scared of you. Depending on where Damian Lillard goes, that's another team that's going to leapfrog you, whether it's Miami, whether it's Brooklyn, I don't know. any of those teams get Dame Lillard, they're automatically going to leapfrog you. It's not looking good. All right, we can move on from that. We just wanted to quickly brush up on it. That's the major breaking news in the NBA. Don't think any other breaking news happened since then. So we could skip all of that and go into what we were actually trying to talk about. Was the in-season tournament.
Yeah.
We already knew the groups for quite some time. We already kind of knew when the scheduling was going to happen, but we finally got the actual TV schedule. The teams on national TV, blah, 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 all the interesting stuff. It starts November, what was it, 3rd?
That's pretty early in the season.
Yeah, and it ends December, like, 9th. So it's very early in the season, which I think, by the way, that's a negative. What do you guys think? I think if you want him to try hard and the games come for the regular season, maybe make it in March instead, February?
Yeah, near the end of the season.
I mean, it's November. Who really is going to go try hard 2 weeks into the season?
If the only way that people ever, like, take the in-season tournament seriously, even though there is, like, a, you know, this, how much does each player get for winning?
500,000, was it? I don't know the exact value.
That was 500K.
Okay, so there's a decent, like, financial incentive. Other than that, like, what is the, like, benefit of winning the play-in tournament, like, for any, like, team or player? Yeah, okay,
500,000 per player if you win, 200,000 if you reach the finals, which guys is like a chocolate bar.
I mean, unless you're, like, an end-of-the-bench, like, minimum player, then that's a whole different thing. But other than that, like, what is the benefit of a team or a player, like, winning said tournament, like?
I think 10 years from now, obviously, it'll matter way more. But obviously, the first one is just like, who cares, you know? And
there's no like real like benefits other than like a trophy, right?
Exactly. The NBA.
Yeah, it's just like a cool like trophy, I guess.
You're the first NBA Cup winners, which I think could eventually turn into meme material during the season.
Yeah, I was gonna say whoever wins. Like, I pray the Clippers don't win that shit.
If you win it and lose the finals, it's over.
Yeah, it's like dead ass is over.
You know, but if you win both, then that's going to low-key be icy. Like, oh, you swept the league in both competitions.
I saw someone float the idea today that the winner of the in-season tournament should get an automatic bid into the playoffs. And I'm just like, well, that's an interesting idea. And if they ever did that, then
Do you determine the seeding? That's the part. Like, what the hell happens to the seeding?
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, that – it was an interesting idea. They didn't really, like – expand.
I like the
it,
idea but... too, but I mean, it would be a weird fit there. Like, what seed would they become? I just think like a suitable prize would be, obviously NBA Cup itself. Obviously, you're the champion. You know, okay, I understand. My issue with this whole tournament thing is, forget about the groups for a second, because I think they drew the groups kind of like the Champions League, right? Lots and stuff. But here's my issue with the way Adam Silver did this. Why the hell is it conference-based when you already have the NBA playoffs that's conference-based? And what's the damn difference?
That was pretty weird. Will not lie.
Should be interconference, and these groups should have been either conferences. It would have made it way more better. Why the hell is it West versus East when we literally have the NBA playoffs that is West versus East, essentially? Like, you play West teams, and then you go to the finals. Why? I don't get it. That's such a bad decision, and such
the fact that it's not even like it's not even additional games. It's just like including the regular season. Like the regular season is just like warped into it.
Yeah, only the finals, I guess, is the extra game. That's it.
It's so weird, bro.
It's so weird.
And they play in Las Vegas too. So for the final game, the final four games, I think it's going to be a little basketball.
I don't know if they're trying to follow the European soccer model.
They are. Because that's exactly what Adam Silver is doing.
Well, they did a horrible job of that. I mean, Jesus.
Exactly. I don't know if Adam Silver ever watched soccer, but I hope he does know that these in-season tournaments they see in soccer includes teams that are not in the same league they play in. So there's value to it. Even the FA Cup. The FA Cup has teams from other English divisions. It's not just the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So... obviously, the Premier League teams end up being at the top of it, but you kind of get my point is, if you want this cup to mean something, I did say it was an idea, and I thought they should have included international teams. I really did. and kind of talk it over with Inter, and not do it so soon, but maybe 2-3 years from now, you kind of create this whole bigger and call it the basketball cup or something, and it includes teams from overseas too. I mean, obviously NBA teams are gonna stomp on them, same way English teams most of the time, Premier League teams stomp on other division teams, but it's not the same thing. You get what I mean? Like, I'm not just watching a watered down version of the NBA playoffs, essentially. Because that's what this is. It's a watered down version of the NBA playoffs. It's literally the NBA playoffs, obviously, with the group stages structured differently. But, oh man, I would have much rather preferred he spent this effort restructuring the playoffs and making it 1 through 16 and abolishing conferences instead of this. Abolishing conferences in the playoffs, not in general, instead of this nonsense, I guess, is what I wanted to say. Because, yeah, this isn't... this tournament isn't ideal, I'm not going to lie. Do you guys think teams will take a series? Especially the veteran teams? See, younger teams like Spurs and stuff going on. And what do you guys think about these bigger teams, the more older teams who are looking at a title?
They might have... I think if you wanted, like, full competition, I don't think putting at the end of the season would be good because, like, teams are actually fighting for playoff spots then. But putting at the end of the season when teams aren't really, like, resting players and things like that would have been better than putting it, like, in October, like, where teams are starting to be like, okay, we can let these players get some games off. But, you know, there's always going to be, no matter when you put it, there's always going to be some teams that are going to sit and some teams that are going to take it seriously. But I do think the younger teams would, you know, obviously those players obviously try to play every game. But I think the younger teams might take it a little bit more serious. You know, those are younger players on smaller contracts who the $500K would actually benefit. But the older teams, I'm not sure. But the goal in NBA is try to win. I like that they put it, like, in the season. Like, it counts towards season wins so that, like, so that teams could not be like, okay, we don't have to try because it's not going to count towards a regular season record. But I still think that some teams are just not going to try to win it.
What I think can happen, though, is I think teams will take those games a little bit more serious to start the season and maybe, like, troll during the other games. You know what kind of what I mean?
Yeah, so I mean, I'd rather see them, like, go full strength if you're going to put a midseason tourney. I'd rather see it at, like, all teams at full strength, like, still competing than for teams to, like, be like, okay. Because you can't stop tanking and – they know they can't stop, not tanking, but they can't stop resting players, load management, and they know they can't, but they just, like, decided to try to do the midseason tournament to get some extra money. Honestly, that's all it is.
Right, right. It's a way to make the regular season matter. I think that was the whole purpose of it. Which, I mean, I think it will work. I think teams obviously will try hard in these regular season games. And I think especially the semifinals and the finals will be good basketball because we kind of get the one-game elimination scenario front and center. My issue is the validity of this, the series, like, you know, and the thing, the reality is when something starts, it's not going to be as cool, but I feel 10 years from now, like, it'll actually have at real value. You know what I mean? Like, 10 years from now, people are going to be like, all right, the NBA Cup is going to be taken seriously a decade from now. And I think that's what Adam Silver is banking on, is that maybe now it looks dumb, but 10 years from now, when this is ingrained in fans and people understand it for what it is, the same way the plane, you remember when the plane first came to be, there's a lot of naysayers about it.
I hate that shit.
And now people are kind of loving it a little bit more. You know, we got the Timberwolves Lakers overtime game. We got the Bulls Miami Heat really close game, the Raptors. And the, when people see these really exciting one game kind of elimination scenarios, fans now kind of understand. We like the plane and now we, it's just something we're used to now. It's like you expect the plan. It's not some foreign concept. You're like, I don't know if I want this in my sport. But now people love it because now they're used to it. This is going to be the fourth year, I think, or fifth year of the plan. And people really are invested in this. I think the NBA Cup will be the same way. But again, it's just going to have to take time. And please just stop the conference shit. Make it jumbled. We already have the NBA playoffs. Why is this? I don't know what Adam Silver, whoever made this, was thinking. Why should we keep this? I know they talk about travel, but I mean, you literally have to travel to these Eastern Conference teams to play them once a year anyway. Might as well just use that once a season in the group stage.
Yep, once or twice, yep.
Right, so I don't know. I don't get it. I do know for this for sure is maybe they wanted to avoid a scenario where maybe you played, you know, let's say you played Philadelphia. No, but then the semifinals and the finals are at a non-home, you know, it's at a, what is it called? I'm tweaking right now.
Venue?
Yeah, it's neutral venue. So I guess the logic doesn't even matter. You wouldn't even be traveling to anybody's home. It would be a neutral venue. So why in the world would you not put mix up the East and West conferences? I still don't get it. That was just a big drop on them, on their case. I'm not going to lie.
Bro, the thing, yeah, if they're worried about travel, right, when it comes to the playoffs and like the 1 through 16 stuff, they should just schedule the playoffs better. Because, I mean, if you see the way the playoffs were scheduled like the past year, there was times where random teams in each round would get like 2 to 3 days off for every like other game. And then you have like, for example, I know the Sixers, they had like, I don't even think they got like more than 2 days off besides obviously their sweep, but like they were playing every other day. And then you had the fucking Suns and you had the Suns and Nuggets. Like they played one day and I don't think they played again until like 2 or 3 days later. Like it's a little bit ridiculous sometimes the way they schedule that stuff.
But why is he so against 1 through 16? It just, and you create more rivalry in the sport when you do that. You know what I mean? Like, imagine like Jimmy Butler and the Timberwolves being able to happen in the playoffs on a regular instead of both teams have to go to the finals. Or what's another East-West games that get interesting? Denver and Philadelphia. What's another one? What's another one where East and West kind of gets a little exciting, but it just doesn't get to keep happening? I don't know. I'm sure there's many examples that people have in their mind. You know, but it can't happen because there's this reliance. I know we're kind of getting away from the in-season tournament a little bit, but, you know, like the in-season tournament should have been the opportunity for us to get that instead. And remove the conferences and make it East-West kind of a jumbled mix-up. You make your pots, and then you now, for example, Boston and what's the second-tier West team last year based off record? Boston and the Lakers end up in the same group, for example. Look, I imagine how much more exciting that would be. In the semifinals, the Lakers and Boston could face in the semifinals, for example, instead of only playing each other in the finals if they make it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's this. It almost feels like a horniness from Adam Silver to keep this. Like, I get, and it's a very much so an American sport thing that doesn't exist in Europe, soccer or basketball. I don't think they're, okay, I don't want to lie about basketball. I don't know exactly what they do, but I think there's a European competition where the best teams in Europe face each other. Isn't there something like that?
You said what?
In Europe, don't the best teams just play each other straight up in like a playoff scenario? It's like a European.
What do you mean by the best teams? The European Super Cup?
Yeah, where different teams from different leagues play each other for the like.
Oh, that's like whoever wins the Champions League and the Europa League. But yeah,
I don't mean soccer. I'm talking about basketball.
Oh, basketball.
I know soccer. I know. I'm talking about basketball. I believe there's like a Super Cup where different countries on like Russia won once and maybe France won once.
Oh, and in the Euro League?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm saying is like, it's very much an American like, thing. They have the conferences.
Yeah, they have they follow like the European soccer model as well.
Yeah.
Where so, they have like the League Cup, and then they have like the Champions League.
Exactly. And, you know, obviously NFL is an example of it, but NFL works because the schedule is so much smaller that you don't even see some of those teams anyway. So it's not like, you know what I mean? It's only 17 games. Can't play every opposing team anyway. And NFL obviously has far more serious rivalries than basketball. Let's just be honest. What's the only real rivalry in NBA? Boston and the Lakers? Pistons and what?
That's not even a thing.
It hasn't even been a thing lately, you know?
The Celtics' best player is a Kobe stan. Like, that is not a rivalry.
Yeah. It's certainly not like the rivalries you see like in football where it's like division teams just hate each
other. Some of them people hate each other. Like,
it's true hatred. Like And it's like the Titans and the Colts hate each other, and it's like you don't even think about it like that unless you were a fan of one of the teams. You know what I mean? You know, basketball, I'm saying the only rivalry that actually has namesake, I guess, would be the Lakers and the Celtics. And I guess to a small extent, the Clippers and the Lakers now.
Sixers and the Bucks, kind of.
Sixers, exactly. You know, and that's just based off, again, the best teams. It's not actually based off divisions or conferences. It's just the best teams playing each other. You know, Denver and Sixers have been getting pushed as a rivalry lately. I don't know if it's like that, but it's been getting pushed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, to the point, Adam Silver started at NBA Rivalries Week. Let's be serious and get this out the way, bro. Come on, bro. There are great games, by the way. Rivalry Week has some really good games. I'm not going to lie. But I don't think it was because these teams hate each other. I just think they ended up having really good games when they played each other. Because, you know, Boston and Lakers is the only game I could think about genuinely that has, like, this heightened level of, I hate, you know, there's, you know, 17 rings versus 18. Who has more now? The Lakers, right? Has 18 now? Or did they just catch
up? No, they both have 17.
They both have 17. So they caught up to Boston. Okay. So, oh yeah, we have 17. You have 17. You know, and then the history, obviously, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Kobe, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce. There's history there. Paul Gasol, those guys. There's history. But you could create better history if you just let teams go 1-16. I mean, your best rivalry in basketball is not even teams in the same conference. Would that not automatically tell you we don't need this? Soccer. Soccer rivalries are based off location. Teams closest to each other hate each other the most. Football, I guess the same thing because it's like conferences, you know, divisions. You know, football divisions mean extra. You face each other twice. They have more value. They get you into the playoffs. I don't even think basketball divisions have value. If you're in your division, it don't mean nothing in terms of seeding. It doesn't change anything. You know, you could get four, let's say, Pacific teams can be better than one Central team, for example, because division title means nothing. So, I mean, how many of you know how many division titles your team won in the last, like, 4 years?
No idea. None. Yeah. Zero, by the way.
Yeah, the Warriors are no division, so no.
But you kind of get my point. Is that, you know, clear examples of, like, domination from the Warriors, but... Like, I couldn't tell you how many times, for example, let's look at Denver. Obviously, last year is pretty obvious because they're the number one seed, but how many times in the last 4 years did they win a division? I couldn't tell you. Division title. I'm not talking about conference. I'm talking about division title. I couldn't tell you how many times. Yeah. And that's a guess, right? You're not certain of it?
No, I'm not completely certain.
That's my point.
I can't even tell you who's in the division, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. I couldn't tell you who the Rockets are in a division one besides the Spurs and the Mavericks because they're in the same state.
Exactly. That's my point, Adam.
So literally couldn't tell you.
No, I'm not saying get rid of conferences. I'm saying just in the playoffs, get rid of them. You know what I mean? Like 1-16, please.
You can keep the conferences, obviously, but
yes.
Just change the playoff format.
Exactly.
To 1-16. Simple as that.
Or change the NBA Cup. One of those two have to be no conferences. Remove one of them. I'm not saying you have to change the playoffs. If you want to keep the playoffs, it is okay, whatever. I'm saying at least then in the NBA Cup, give us the opposite then, I guess. That's all I'm begging for, Adam Silver. What are your thoughts on the groups? If you guys got to look at it, what's the groups you're looking, I guess, most towards, like competition-wise, that's been selected?
Are you asking like what do you think the best groups are, or
yeah, like competition wise, it's gonna provide the best like group play.
In my opinion, it's gonna be either the West B or the I'll tell you what division like what who are in that division. It's either gonna be the West B or the West C. So the West B is the one with the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Pelicans, the Mavericks, and the Rockets, and the West C is the one with the Kings, Warriors, Thunder, Spurs, and Timberwolves.
Can't wait for a Group C winner banner in the stadium soon. we hang in that proudly. The East, that's I'm not going to lie, East B is the only one that piques my attention.
Yeah, in the East, that moves me in at all.
I don't care about the other groups. I'm not going to like it.
Who are the Rockets in a group with?
The Clippers, y'all Nuggets cooked. Against the Mavericks.
Y'all cooked.
We're not winning a game.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'd say y'all. See, it's over for y'all, bro. Did you guys see the national TV games, bro? The Spurs have the most national TV games out of our group for this tournament than any other team in the group. So they have more than the Warriors, more than the Kings, more than the Wolves, and more than the Thunders. They have three of the four games.
That is ridiculous. I understand they have one vignette, but damn.
The Timberwolves got zero. So zero of the four games the Timberwolves play are not nationally televised. The Spurs have three. A non-playoff team got three. A playoff team got zero. I think OKC got one, maybe.
They're trying to push that Wembanyama agenda like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we already know Adam Silver and the NBA suck at their marketing department. What do you guys think is the worst group? I got a pretty good idea of a group I think may end up being the worst one.
Bro, it's got to be...
East C, right? I mean, Boston...
Yeah, I was going to say East C or East A. Or East B, I mean.
I like East B a lot.
I don't like East B.
I only like it because of the top three teams. Yeah.
But you got to realize it's regular season heat, though, so...
Yeah, I mean, but you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, he gets a chance to finally win something. He may go try hard. you know, first championship of his life. You know, maybe he may go try hard. East A, I mean, it depends on how the Hawks look, honestly. I like the intrigue. I like the Pistons and the Pacers. But again, I forgot the 76ers are going to be not as good. Yeah, that group low-key may be nice. I'm not going to lie. Well, after what James Harden just did? Yeah, East A may be a nice group. I kind of forgot about the whole Harden situation for a second. Yeah, I agree with you. East B is worse than East A. East C is, though. Like, Boston should go 4-0. I guess the other four teams, who's going to end up being runner-up, could be interesting there.
Yeah.
But didn't they say only one runner-up gets to actually move on out of the three groups in each conference? Do you guys think the Nets, Raptors, Bulls, or Magic are going to either outdo the Knicks and Heat, or the Bucks, I guess, or the Cavs, 76ers, or the Hawks? I mean, I don't know. They got tough competition, man.
I think the Mavericks are good. I mean, my bad. I know we haven't been seeing the predictions yet, but I think the Magic are going to take a step this year. So,
all right. So I was even thinking about predictions, but that's a good point. We might as well just get into it.
Today?
Yeah, why not? I mean, the tournament does start at the beginning of the season anyway.
I don't have anything written down.
I don't have anything.
All right. We'll push it off. We'll push it off when we make our season predictions. We'll quickly throw these in there as well. I feel bad for the Rockets. They got done dirty. Blazers, they got done dirty. East, I guess the Hornets, but I mean, they're just naturally bad. I don't have much belief in the organization. I guess Washington. I guess they got their buddies Washington there with them. I'm interested. I'll say I'm intrigued to see how serious people take this. Because I know, you know, team social media pages have been pushing this tournament thing. Common sense, obviously. But I'm actually interested to see how the players take it. Like, because, you know, I like West A just because of the rivalries, but isn't Ja like suspended for like the entire tournament?
Yeah.
I think he may be suspended for the whole thing.
I think he's suspended for like the first half at least.
If it's in November, you said it's November 3rd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prayers. The season starts like the 24th. He's 100% suspended.
That's true.
Yeah. So the Grizzlies are cooked.
1,000% suspended.
Yeah, bro. Like, that group, I can't believe they even got a national TV game. They just got an NBA TV game. I think that's kind of obvious. Ja suspended them because they only gave him an NBA TV game against the Suns. Obviously, the Suns and Lakers will be very exciting watch. I'm glad the NBA smartly this time made KD. Before we end up closing this off, I want to mention some of the primetime games. What are your thoughts on the opening night? I was kind of shocked there's only West teams. What are your thoughts on that?
That's pretty cool. Hopefully, one of Kevin Durant or LeBron doesn't get some fucking ridiculous day-to-day injury. Because, I mean, Jesus. It's been like 5 years since they've matched up.
Yeah, since 2019, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, now, like, finally, that's... I think hopefully they made it like the second game of the season. Do you know, that's definitely a curse if one of them gets hurt in the first game. Because how the hell do you get hurt? It's only the second game.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely a curse.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that the Lakers and Nuggets is a good game.
Yeah, I'll probably be asleep because, you know, with the ring ceremony, that game may start until like 11.
Mm, yeah. And what's the first game? Is Phoenix and Golden State?
Yeah. So one of those people are going to be
My bad. The Lakers and Nuggets is in Denver, so that's starting at like 8:30.
I think it's the second game, right? So I think it'll start.
Yeah. That's got to be the first game because if they're playing in Phoenix or Golden State.
Denver is the same though, I think, right? Isn't Denver also Pacific time?
Denver's Mountain Time.
Oh, so they're 1 hour ahead of...
They're 1 hour behind.
They're like 1 hour behind us, I know. They're 1 hour behind us.
My bad. They're Mountain Time, so they're 1 hour ahead of us. Okay.
Are you Central? If you're Central Time, they're 1 hour...
I'm Eastern.
So that's 2 hours then.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of them has to start at 7 Eastern.
Actually, I'm tripping. So it's 2 hours behind us, which I'm Eastern. So it's 1 hour ahead of West Coast. The West Coast time zone, basically. So one of them's going to start at like 8:30 and one of them's going to start at like 10:30 is my guess.
7:30 and 9:30.
Yeah, that's
right. Maybe I'm tweaking. No, you're right. 7:30. It's 8:30 you guys. 7:30 me. Yeah. Okay. Then you're right. Then I would assume Denver will start at 8:30 then, because then people can be out of work and go to the game. And be there on time. And then Phoenix and what's the second game? Phoenix and Golden State. Was that the second game?
Yeah, Phoenix and Golden State.
So then that one's starting late because both teams are in the same time zone would probably make sense, yeah. And that takes the 9:30 game. What was the Thursday primetime? I think it was the Lakers and Suns, was it?
Yes, the Lakers and Suns, and then...
The 76ers and Bucks.
76ers and Bucks, yeah.
Okay, what are they thinking putting the 76ers on there?
Is that... That's the...
Thursday, that's so like the second Thursday TNT games. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Wednesday, I think they only introduced one of those games. Was it Miami and Milwaukee? It's a Wednesday ESPN game. They have not introduced the second ESPN game. It hasn't been said yet by Shams. Mm. I think the schedule gets released actually this week. It should have been released sometime this week. It typically gets released mid-August.
Thursdays?
So you may get it tomorow or Friday, I would assume. The NBA would release its schedule.
The full schedule?
Yeah,
full schedule.
I think the Timberwolves may end up getting less primetime games than even last year, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking. Damn. I think the tournament showing us we have 0 out of 4. We got, they're not even facing like bad teams either. I mean, Golden State couldn't even give us one. We could even get the Golden State boost. I mean, like, Golden State is like an auto, you know what I mean? Like, if you play Golden State, typically you may get yourself a primetime game.
Yeah.
You didn't even get the goal. Our only primetime games like the last 5 years, like 90%, I swear to you guys, go look at it. 90% of those were just Golden State games.
Yeah, the Golden State stimulus package was crazy in 2016 through 19.
That's the only reason why I have love for them, is we get the stimulus package primetime showing.
Stimulus is crazy.
That's what it is.
It's same thing with the Lakers in like 2019. Boy, boy, if you play the Lakers a lot, boy, your ass going on TV.
Hey, the Lakers also, they give you, nowadays, I mean, there's a time period where maybe you didn't, but now, yeah. Lakers or Golden State giving you a stimulus for sure in today's era. You'll be seeing teams that have no business on primetime, but they'll be on there because of the Warriors and
they're in the Warriors division.
Yeah, so I think we may end up getting like 5. I'm not even going to hate on y'all, bro. Two of them going to be Golden State. One of them going to be the Lakers. And Lord knows what the other two is going to be. I'm not even going to bother guessing. Maybe want to guess Memphis. They might throw us on against Memphis. But all right, what's your thoughts on the Christmas Day games? So that, I guess that is the biggest primetime games of all.
Let me actually check the Christmas schedule.
I kind of have an issue with Adam Silver here as well.
Let me guess. The Lakers and Celtics are playing each other. Let me guess. Yep. Shocker. Golden State versus Denver. That shouldn't I feel like the Christmas Day matchup should automatically, like, almost always be a finals rematch. I don't know. That's just me.
I agree.
Bucks versus New York, I guess.
I don't complain.
It's in New York as well.
Yeah.
Sixers at Miami. Why?
Yeah, the Sixers is just a bad place. And what's going on? Dallas, I don't know why.
Dallas-Phoenix is an interesting matchup.
Yeah, I like that matchup.
You know, because they got a little bit of a rivalry.
There we go. That's what I forgot about. That's the rivalry thing, yeah. That's one of the things I forgot earlier.
That's growing into a rivalry, at least. And, yeah, besides, I don't like the Celtics. Why is the NBA pushing the Celtics, like, Lakers thing? Like, it's – they are not rivals.
That's my thing is you literally have a rivalry. I guess they face twice. Maybe I'm just tripping. They do face twice, so I guess they could do the rivalry game, Lakers at Boston. But I'm assuming they're going to use the Lakers and Clippers in the rivalry week instead. This is my issue with the NBA Christmas Day games. And I speak for all the small market teams when I say this. This is the NBA's chance to promote other teams and put them in the limelight. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're telling me you couldn't even feed OKC a bone, for example? What's another smaller market team that actually was decent last year?
Kings?
The Kings not getting one is insane. I just want to make that, like, how could do they not, the third seed that was exciting basketball, you couldn't even give them a Christmas Day game? I mean, how is the 76ers who are dealing with turmoil get one? How? I mean, like, what did Adam Silver think was going to happen, bro? Use your brain, bro. Like, where's that R. Kelly video? Use your common sense. Like, how in the world?
That's crazy.
Did the Sixers get a Christmas game and they got the opening day schedule when you knew James Harden was out the door? How does that happen? Celtics and Lakers, I get it. It's Christmas Day. You want to push? I don't even have an issue with that game, actually. I actually don't even care about that one. Mavericks and Suns, I'll give it to them. What should happen is Miami should have played the Nuggets low-key on Christmas Day. As you said, title rematch should just be on Christmas Day. But how did the Kings not get one? And are they even, I guess you could say they're small market, but they're still in Cali. I mean, I'll say there's a sizable thing there. What other teams? I may be tweaking my brain for again. Cleveland, maybe Cleveland. You couldn't give Cleveland one. Come on, man. And recycle. My thing is the NBA needs to learn to recycle teams out. If the NFL, look at why the NFL is so successful, is because every team gets fair marketing. As long as you're not absolutely garbage. Look at Christmas games. They switch them around every year. I think it was the Dolphins and Packers last year. I can't remember the second game. And the terrible Broncos got one last year, right? Yeah, I think they had a Christmas Day game last year.
I believe they did.
So why don't the Kings get one? Where are the OKC Thunder? Where are all these other teams that you could push into the limelight, promote your other stars? Knicks are an automatic lock. Whether they're bad or not, they've always gotten a Christmas Day game for as long as I can remember. In the early game, like the 11-12 game, they get it all the time in New York. Yeah. At least for the last 4 years, if I'm being honest, I think 76ers have had one, right? For the last 4 years, at least.
I believe Miami too.
Miami too, I think as well. Lakers and Lakers is an automatic. Celtics, I don't know how much they had the last 4 years, but I think Lakers have had one the last 4 years as well. Mavericks and Suns, that's a rivalry game, okay. But again, just move it into rivalry week. Like, make that your marquee rivalry week game. You know what I'm saying? And Warriors, okay, I'm not even going to hit that. But again, Warriors are marketable without them being on Christmas Day. Can we be honest? They don't need a Christmas Day game. Curry is Curry, Golden State. You're going to tune in regardless whether they play on the 26th or the 25th. Why could you give it to another team who could use the national American audience watching to, like, tune in?
Yeah, the OKC definitely is one of the teams I'm very surprised didn't get a Christmas game.
At Kings and OKC would have been like the perfect matchup for them to play each other and promote. And even if you don't want to promote both because you think it'll be low rating, give them a, like, dude, Lakers and Kings. That's literally a rivalry, isn't it? Maybe it's kind of dead now, but I could have swear they hate each other. But yeah, they do hate each other. I'm certain of it. Lakers and Kings, boom. OKC, throw them in with Golden State, I guess, if you want to throw it in. Do Nuggets and Heat and just remove the Sixers in total. And then Bucks and Knicks, bro, just, I could have swore they, how many Christmas games have these dudes played each other? Unless my brain is tweaking me, this may be the third time in the last 5 years they had a Christmas Day game against each other. Maybe I'm tweaking.
Yeah.
But for sure, it's the second one, I'm certain. Come on, Adam Silver. I do think they're obviously good games. I'm not going to act like it's bad basketball. I don't want people to think I think this is bad basketball. I just think you should be promoting other teams. That's the wise thing. Look at the way the NFL does it. Everybody gets a turn.
Everybody.
Who's the best? Yeah, exactly. Like,
I'm pretty sure the Jets got a Christmas game this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. I mean, I get Aaron Rodgers game, but even before, like, you can use examples of, like, previous years where teams that aren't that good, even going into the season, got a Christmas Day game. Let me just check the NFL Christmas Day slate to right now, because I'm actually interested.
If I'm not mistaken, I do believe. Oh wait, we don't. But we're having a lot of, like, we're on Sunday Night Football now, which hasn't happened for like a decade.
Raiders are getting a Christmas Day game,
and Raiders, they're going to be terrible.
Yeah. So look at the example. And then they paired them with the Chiefs. They smartly paired them with another big team, so that people are still going to tune in because of the Chiefs, but now you're exposing people to the Raiders still too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the NBA just doesn't seem to have the same comments. Okay, look at Thanksgiving. I get the Cowboys always is on there, and I guess you could say that's kind of rating farming, but I think it's because Lions are always there too. You could exactly say the Lions don't get as much ratings, but it's a cultural thing. I don't know why, but I don't get the Lions and Cowboys always getting toasted either. I'm not a big fan of that, but again, they switch. I mean, the Patriots and the Vikings got one last year, and nobody thought those two were going to be world beaters last year, let's be honest, going into last season. So NBA has a lot to learn. And the reason why Curry keeps getting the number one numbers, first of all, he's really fun to watch. But number two, that's all you show sometimes. Let's be honest. Like, if you don't show your other stars, how are people going to become the casuals? I'm talking about the I don't even want to call them casuals. Not everybody has time to really in-depth watch the game. But if somebody who, you know, watches the game every once in a while, whatever comes on their TV, if you're never putting other teams on there, how the hell are they going to learn about them?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad. It's sad to see that Adam Silver still doesn't understand something so basic, and he's continuing the mistakes of David Stern. Like, come on, bro. I mean, NBA is a global sport. You don't always have to rating farm. Like, you got to be past that at some point in time. I mean, not the younger people love basketball. It's a global sport. I think it's the second or third biggest global sport in the world. I don't know which one's ahead, cricket or basketball. I don't know which one's ahead of the other, but I think they're, one of them is number two.
Yeah, and then stop, you have soccer as well, farming. So it's like,
yeah. It makes me so mad sometimes. And this not even to be biased about Timberwolves or nothing. I really don't care the Timberwolves don't get one. I mean, like, there's so many other teams that they could have just pushed into a Christmas Day game instead of the same damn teams. It's unfortunate. It really is. But I think that's about it. Any of you guys have other thoughts to add?
No, not really.
Not really. Not much happened. The Damian Lillard situation has, like, gone nowhere since last time we talked.
Do we think he's being traded at this point?
I think, yes. I heard something crazy from the Blazers fans. That they may trade for Embiid if he demands a trade. And they just decide to keep him. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, they do have great assets, so I'm not going to lie. Like, if you want to start rebuilding.
Yeah.
Like, low-key, if Morey wants to – Philadelphia wants to press the restart button right now, you can
have – I mean, what would they be trading for Embiid, though?
Scoot Henderson, Anthony Simons because of the money, obviously.
Yeah, but if Embiid requested a trade, they can't trade a thing yet. They'd have to wait till like December.
Who? Oh, Scoot, because he's signed, isn't he?
Yeah, it's been a month since the draft. It's been way over a month since the draft, actually.
Let me see. What's the rule? I'm actually trying to search up the rule.
Because you guys traded for Gobert, like,
July, yeah. Like 2 weeks after the draft.
It was July.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me see. Trying to, like, I'm interested to see. Can you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying on draft night, bro. Let's see.
Apparently, there are players. There are players that they can negotiate, like, no trade clauses in the rookie contracts. I'm like, what? I have never heard of this.
Yeah, yeah. So like, it's kind of like it. You can negotiate. Technically, you can negotiate almost anything that like a regular player can negotiate when it comes to like a rookie contract, because it's still like a contract. But it's like there's like you can negotiate a no trade clause into it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm interested. Okay, yeah. So yes,
because I'm pretty sure there is a rule that you cannot trade a player that you just drafted and signed for a certain period of time.
They're saying January 15.
Because that's definitely a rule in 2K. So it's like, but at the same time, you got to think, it's like you're getting like rumors of the Blazers trading Scoot Henderson to keep Dame, and you're wondering like, can they even do that? But I feel like there wouldn't be rumors of that if you know they couldn't do it. Basically,
I think you get like a month, is what it is, and then after that you got to wait until like December, if I'm not mistaken. Because I do remember the Timberwolves traded for Gobert. It was in like the first like week of July, I think.
It was day one.
It was like before. It was literally like before free agency even happened. So that was what, a couple weeks from the draft, maybe.
Yeah, it was really 2 weeks after the draft. Go to Portland. Okay, I'm trying to see what they're saying about. They're saying Scoot Henderson can be included.
Let me see. Are you sure? Else.
I'm gonna try and go through with the trade and see what happens. Let me just throw in the money to match Yusuf Nurkic. Probably have to go. Does that match Embiid's money? No, it doesn't. I have to throw in somebody else. Probably Shade and Sharp. Probably have to trade him too.
Damn.
Okay, let's try this trade. Okay, yeah. So they could actually make a trade happen with just Simons, Yusuf Nurkic, just Scoot Henderson. NBA trade machine isn't stopping me. They're stopping me from adding Jeremy Grant because I know he signed a contract and cannot be traded.
Yeah.
I'm guessing then you can trade Scoot Henderson. I don't know the rules. I'm not going to act like I know the rules. You have to get like Bobby Marks or somebody who studies that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I know for sure if you sign a contract with free agency, you can't be traded until December or January, the specific date. For rookies, I don't know. Maybe there's a specific clause for some rookies. Or is it not? For these, maybe is it that you can't? No, but then the Timberwolves traded Walker Kessler like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, you can trade them, but I'm pretty sure once they sign...
A month like, limit? Yeah.
There's like a specific time limit. You get like a month or something.
Let me trade him. It just let me trade Scoot. Why is that?
I'm actually on Fanspo?
On NBA Trade Machine. The ESPN.
Oh.
So maybe did the new CBA change that? There is the new CBA that was just unleashed. Did it change it?
I doubt it.
No, but it's letting me trade Scoot. But, I mean, that is a team that can... I mean, is there a better package out there than the Scoot, Shaden Sharp, and, like, four picks with, obviously, throwing probably in Nurkic and money?
Probably not.
So, I mean, they could easily get him. I think they destroy any other team who's willing to trade for him a package. So... If you want to restart, I think that may be one of the best restart packages in, like, the last decade. Like, on the Pelicans-level package. Pelicans played around with theirs, but you know what I mean? That kind of package, so... I'm actually interested. Now, if I'm Philadelphia, you know, this is the issue with a lot of organizations. They're not committed. You're not winning this year with Embiid. I'm just going to be honest.
That's true.
And he's getting older. I mean, I see Embiid's point of view. I'm 30 now, 29, 30. Am 29. I going to waste my good years away?
Bro, we're looking old as shit.
29, especially for his injuries. Like, you got to say, you got to take a couple of years off Embiid's prime because of his injuries. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're going to, and he's just big too. He's like 7 feet tall and weighs a lot. So it's going to, mm-hmm. it's going to get to you. Do I go join Damian Lillard and ball out? I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the Western Conference if I was Embiid personally, just because of the amount of talent right there right now. But I mean, me, Dame, Yusuf Nurkic, what other role players they even got? My brain is fried right now. But
Yusuf Nurkic would be in the deal.
I say Yusuf Nurkic. I'm tweaking. I met Jeremy Grant, not Yusuf Nurkic. They have Thybulle, right? Didn't they resign Thybulle? Like, they matched his money. So.
Yeah.
So that's a solid starting lineup. That's a starting lineup. I'm missing a player too. Maybe Nasir Little starts. I don't know. Throwing some guys. I think they could maybe throw in another piece and get like PJ Tucker or something back. I don't know. Get some vet help. Oh, yeah, at it. And you keep on pushing. I don't know. That's actually interesting. I just seen a Blazers fan like tweet that saying, yo, low key, we get Embiid. We have one of the best packages. But then it gets like, is Portland actually interested in doing that?
Yeah, that's honestly the question, honestly.
Because Portland has to believe they could still win. I mean, and I don't know, based off the fact that they're willing to trade Dame for a rebuilding package, maybe they also given up on the fact they could win, regardless of who's available.
Yeah.
I don't
even know if Dame is going to be traded, to be honest. I could foresee a scenario where he isn't, and that would be weird.
That would be just malpractice, probably.
Because, like, you would – even if they don't trade him, like, you have four guards, bro. Like,
I guess though, you could take a big patch in the deadline, right?
Yeah, but it's just like, regardless of what they do, I think they have to trade one of the. I think they probably should try to trade Simons. I don't know, he's a good player, but it's just the amount of guards that they have on that team is kind of ridiculous. And then if they hypothetically traded Dame to the Heat, they would be taking on like, or no, they're trying to find a way to not take on Hero. So, but they would still have to probably take on some guards. Like, I don't.
He's not going to the Heat. I don't think they're actually interested anymore in that. I just don't know.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. Because I mean, if it's August, and he hasn't been traded yet. I don't foresee it happening, at least now.
Yeah. They're probably going to wait until the deadline.
It's coming to the Clippers.
Well, bad news for you. you come here. You're already starting the season with Terrence Mann at point guard.
That's a good thing, actually.
I guess, unless he decides to start Westbrook.
Well... What's wrong with that either? Point guard next to James Harden. So,
no, I mean, I'd love to see Westbrook James Harden win a ring in the same year. That'd be beautiful, but we will see. I think when does training camp start? Like September 15, right? Like a month from now, essentially.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll find out soon enough what goes on with all of these teams, all these trade rumors. But yeah, all right. We'll be back next week. If obviously James is traded and Daryl Morey folded in the next week before that, we will see you then.
Yep.
If he doesn't, we will see you in 7 days. Probably make some of these predictions.
Yep.
And get them out the way. All right, guys. Appreciate y'all hopping on.
Sure.